The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning! Warning!
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger! Danger!
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters
the danger zone.
That's right. It's the Danger Zone here on Money Life, where we talk with David Trainer. He is president of New Constructs. If you're not familiar with the firm, check out newconstructs.com and take a look at the research they do there. Stocks, mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, and of course, he may be best known for the most attractive and most dangerous stocks list that he issues every month. David Trainer, welcome back to Money Life.
Chuck, great to be back. Thank you.
All guests on Money Life appear on the Hightower Hotline. Hightower knows the meaning of the word fiduciary, and so should anyone who's looking to work with a financial planner. If you're an investor searching for help, go to HightowerAdvisors.com. Hightower is an SEC-registered investment advisor. All right, David, who's in the danger zone today?
Con Edison.
And the ticker symbol is?
ED.
Danger, danger.
Why Con Edison? I mean, a lot of folks have been saying they still like energy stocks and utility companies. Why is Con Edison in the danger zone?
You know, one of the reasons I picked it out is because you and I have had multiple conversations about how dividend yield is not the only thing investors should consider when buying a stock, because that dividend yield could pale in comparison to the potential capital loss if you're investing in a company with bad economics or, what's worse, misleading accounting that could eventually lead to a blow-up. And that's the case with Con Ed. I've identified some accounting manipulations that has enabled them to overstate their profits, and when the market gets a whiff of this, I think the stock could suffer significantly.
So let's get into some specifics about what you've identified. What are the things that you're looking at that make you go, oh man, this is just not what people think it is?
All right, I'm going to get a little bit nerdy on you here, so cut me off if I'm getting a little too technical, but I'll dive right in.
Okay.
It's regarding their pension funding, or their pension plan, pension and other retirement benefits. Basically, there's one big assumption that companies can make when determining the impact of the pension plan on their earnings. That assumption is called the return on plan assets. Essentially, that shows people what the company is assuming their return is going to be on the money they have invested related to their pension plan.
Okay.
So, companies can manipulate this return on plan assets to mitigate their earnings. If they make the return on plan assets really high, well, then it lowers the cost of the pension that gets reflected in their earnings. Right? And that's exactly what Con Ed has done in this case. Their assumption for the return on plan assets is 8.5%, and it raised it from last year when it was 8.3%. Now, without context, those numbers may mean very little, which is why we gather data and rank data on all pension plans for all U.S. traded companies. And when we put Con Ed in that context, it is clear that they are juicing the numbers big time. So, for example, 8.5% return on plan assets, that's higher than 95% of all other companies with pensions or other retirement benefit plans. So they're one of the very highest, and they still raised it, okay?
And that's basically an assumption that they can earn that kind of money on the money that they've set aside, which then allows them to sort of be cheaper someplace else. And truthfully, who honestly can earn or predict and say they're really going to do it an 8.5% return?
That's a pretty good return, right?
Well,
I think most people sort of long-term would be pretty happy if they could guarantee themselves an 8.5% return.
If they could do that, they shouldn't be in the power business. They should be running money, shouldn't they?
I think that's a great point, right? You know, that's what makes the number all the more unrealistic. But here's what's really going to get your goat. The actual return on plan assets, because you can go into the notes and find out what kind of return they actually experienced on their plan assets. Last year, it was 1%.
Ugh.
Over the last 5 years, average, 1%. The average since Con Ed started reporting this information in their footnotes, which was in 1998, the average return that they've achieved is 5.3%. All right, so there's really no way in the world they could justify an 8.5% return on long term, in my opinion.
How does this then wind up playing out for the stock? Because obviously you've got this sort of misleading number in the balance sheet and playing in there. What does this mean for valuations and where the stock could go?
Right. So let's just say we replaced the 8.5% with 5.3, which is a long-term average, right?
Right.
That would be an additional $275 million in costs that you'd have to ding their earnings, right, which would be about a 25% ding to net income and earnings per share. Also, essentially, for my modeling purpose, I don't look at net income and earnings because I know they're manipulated by a lot of other things. We look at their operating profit after tax, right? That's a key number. And when you adjust the net operating profit after tax for this unrealistically high return on plan asset assumption and lower pension costs, and you re-rate the pension costs, you're getting about 150 basis point deduction to their after-tax operating profit margin. The takeaway on that is that the valuation of the stock, instead of the fair value being around the mid-50s, I'm seeing it now in the low 40s, or about 30% lower than where it is today.
And so
significantly.
And that's without them ever just having the actual performance, as you pointed out, of 1% on their pension returns. You were still being generous there.
I'm being fairly generous. It is their long-term return, right? You know, and there's been ups and downs, you know, since 1998. It's been a generally very good market, right? And most of their plan assets are in equities, which is risky, but also allows them to justify a higher return. But for me, you know, the number that comes to mind when I saw that 30% in my calculations, I thought, wow, that's a lot higher than the 4% dividend yield that people are looking for.
Yeah, exactly. And the moral of the story is, again, don't be a sucker for a dividend until you know that the other stuff underlying it is going to actually hold up, because a potential 30% loss or 33% loss puts Con Edison, ticker symbol ED, in the danger zone. For more information on everything that New Constructs does, check out newconstructs.com, and you can follow them on Twitter at New Constructs. David Trainer, always great to chat with you. Look forward to doing it again next week.
Thank you, Chuck. I had a great time. Have a great weekend.
There's much more of Money Life yet to lead. We will do it right after these messages.